Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Caitlin Clark was in Indianapolis yesterday, Perloff. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Mornings here on the Infinity Sports Network and doing a press conference with the Indiana Fever. Reportedly going to sign this massive Nike deal. Yeah. She's getting her own shoe. And with the new attention now on the WNBA and the increased attention on the WNBA, more people watch this draft. It was like over 2 yeah. million people tuned into the draft of 500,000 watched last year. I mean, the increases here are impossible to ignore. And that's where the pay differential between the WNBA and the NBA has kind of come back into the spotlight, because I think some people were surprised just at how little the women make. You know, Caitlin Clark will make $76,000 her first year as a salary, as opposed to the men who, if you're a number one overall pick, you're walking into about $20 million. And I understand when people first come to this and they're going to feel a little bit of an outrage, right? Because Caitlin Clark is such a big star, and because she's, and all these women have done so much to help grow this sport. But I think we have to be a little realistic here. You know, the NBA has a really deep advantage for how long they've been around. Their marketing partners have been around for a long time. And I think as the WNBA is going to continue to grow, they're going to get more TV exposure, more media rights deals that are millions and millions of dollars. I think the salaries are going to increase. You know, is it going to get to where the NBA is at this time? I don't think that should really be the goal right now. I think the goal is to keep increasing these salaries and try to make it so you're not just having more of a like living wage, because in some of these big cities, $75,000 in New York is not going to go very far. You got to pay an agent off of that. You're going to have major taxes taken out of that. So more, you know, commensurate with the stars they are. And I think you are going to see the salaries grow. It's not going to be overnight, but I think you're going to see a major bump.
Yeah, I mean, listen, TV networks are dying to get live sports.
Totally.
And they're going to see that 18.9 million number and just start pursuing WNBA and college women's college basketball like crazy. I do think that at some point you're going to run into a couple questions.
Okay.
Is the product as entertaining as the NBA? Now, I'm not positive on this, because the game is below the rim, where the NBA, you get the high flying dunks.
Sure.
And also,
well, now
too,
the NBA is at the 3-point line, but yes, also dunks.
Yeah. I mean, there were some crazy dunks last night.
That's
true. It's a much different game. Second of all, will women's sports ever be as popular as men's sport? Is there a women's sport? If you look globally, like, I think there
soccer.
Are some sports. Yeah, but can soccer draw? Soccer has trouble drawing crowds and fans, and they're having trouble having leagues in America for women. So I'm curious, too. What's the question? Is that sexism? What is it? Why are women's sports not as popular as men's?
Well, I just think right now, I think men's sports still had this really gigantic lead on women's sports. You know, there's been this, you know, we've had men's sports that, you know, leagues have been around for 100 years. You know, women have been, it's been later to the game because of, and we can go into that, you know, the history of this country and how women weren't given a shot because of traditional gender roles and all that stuff. So I do think that there's some catching up to do. Not all sports. Let's keep it to basketball for a minute. And I think that you're seeing what happens with a lot of the men's sports, but it was just a long time ago. You have a moment that you can capitalize on where things can start growing very fast, where you can start getting expansion into new cities. Right now, the women's media deal is really under the umbrella of the NBA. and they make about $60 million off their media rights deal. The commissioner of the WNBA thinks they could double that when their CBA comes up in 2025. So, again, I think it's coming. You know, I get people coming to this and saying, oh, gosh, what an outrage. How could she only make this little amount when the men are making so much? But I think we're getting there with the eyeballs and the interest and the media rights. That it's all coming. I'm optimistic.
Do you think they'll ever be on par?
I don't know. I mean, right now they're playing half as many games. It's a 40-game season as opposed to an 82-game season. It's a summer league, and generally women do supplement their income by going and playing overseas. Will it ever be on par? I can't predict. You know, more stars like Caitlin.
Well, it feels going from 75,000 to 45 million a year.
Yeah, that's a big gap.
Well, I can't do the math. Is that a 800 time jump? I don't know, on par. Here's the other question too. The fan bases are, this could get into gender share, are there as many women sports fans as men sports fans?
Well, I don't know, because here's the thing. I think the big part of this boon this year for Caitlin and for the WNBA and for women's college basketball was a lot of men getting on board.
Yeah, I think there are more. You don't know if there are more men sports fans?
I think there
fans?
Definitely are.
Yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt. And I think more men are betting. I think more men are, think about our audience and who we're talking to. Yes, we're talking to women, but it's, you know, we're mostly talking to men. Even if you judge like radio ratings or TV ratings, it's men 25 to 54. They don't even factor women into those ratings, because if you did, you would get killed in the ratings. Like, there's
right.
That's generally,
that could change too, though.
It could. Listen, I think women got drawn into Caitlin and the WNBA, and I think men got drawn in, and that's not a bad thing. You want everyone in.
Right.
You like, we talk about casuals, and I hate when people say, "Oh, you're just a casual fan." Are you crazy? Everyone should want casuals. That means that you have crossed over into a new spot. My mom was watching Caitlin Clark in the championship game. I mean, you know, she's not watching NBA games. And so you got to capitalize on the moment. And there's nothing wrong with that. So the women's draft, the WNBA draft, the viewership was up like 300%. You're asking me how quickly could women potentially close the gap with the NBA? I don't, in terms of salary, I have no idea, but I know they're closing quickly on eyeballs, right? Where it, you know, especially in college basketball, the most watched college games and stuff like that. So it's at a rapid pace. Ooh, so how could I put a ceiling on where they're going?
That's funny. I think it's going to be hard, because of the summer league, for the WNBA to close in on eyeballs. That'd be a bigger jump.
Yeah, but NBA ratings have been going down. So
interesting. Here's one thing, and I think both you and I agree on this, that it is not women should get paid out of some sort of ethical stance. Like, the market should determine some of this. And I think I agree with you, like, the market is churning toward women. Yeah. Obviously, Caitlin Clark's about to do $1 billion deal, well, a 10-figure deal with Nike. So obviously the money's going to come. But I think you get into this question, should women be paid the same for the sport, just out of some sort of ethical balance here? And the reality is, the markets do play a big role.
I think that's it. Yeah. I don't think that it is a meritocracy like people want it to be. Now, listen, the women's soccer players were fighting for equal pay, and they got equal pay. And the reason why is because same type of schedule, they were getting more eyeballs than the men's team, and they were having way more success than the men's team. So they're out there winning World Cups, and the men are barely qualifying, and they fought for equal pay, and they won it. And a lot of it was equal pay, equal access to resources. You know, they wanted the better meals and the better travel accommodations and the better food and all, I already said meals, and the better practice facilities. So they fought and they won.
But that was a country team, right?
Yeah, that was the U.S. women's national team.
Right. But how are they doing in the professional league?
So the national NWSL, I believe, signed a big deal, I believe, with Amazon. So I think they're making some really good strides there. There's two things here. I do think the market is what pushes this. You know, do you want to watch? Do you want to buy season tickets? Are you demanding, you know, this type of coverage? The public, in a lot of ways, moves the needle here. And then the other part, too, is we can't make the stars. When I say we, I'm talking about the media. I mean, people can try. You can try to push people to the front. Hey, this person should be the face of the league. This person should be this and that. The public, to me, always determines who the stars are. Believe me, if you guys listening didn't want to hear about Caitlin Clark, we would not be talking about her. And for a long time, the audience didn't want to hear about the WNBA, the mass audience. And now they do. So what do? We give that to you. You know, a lot of times we are following the cues of the public, and that's where the money also follows the cues of the public. Do you want more commercials with Caitlin Clark? Do you want to buy her shoe? Do you want to watch her when she comes to your town? We just follow the trends of the public.
What about the rest of the WNBA? Do we want to watch them?
You know, that's a great question. What do you think?
I'm dying to find out how Caitlin Clark. No, I think Caitlin Clark games are going to have huge ratings. And I think the other WNBA games will go up a little bit. But I wonder if there's going to be, will the average Caitlin Clark do double of a non-Caitlin Clark game? I think so, probably,
maybe.
At first.
But you know what? I think that it is going to be a little rising tide lifts all the boats thing because I think this draft class was really good. So Caitlin is obviously the number one. Yeah. She's the star. But I think people are going to be curious about Angel Reese. I think they're going to be curious about her and Camilla Cardozo teaming up together. That kind of continues a college storyline.
But those are inside players. It's not as exciting, right?
Maybe not.
I mean, that's I don't think centers are as captivating to young people. That's why centers never get the good shoe deals in the NBA.
I don't know. I saw Joel Embiid being pretty awesome last night, and he was pretty captivating.
Really? Oh, my God. Well, that's the old thing. Like, shoe companies don't like centers because I think people don't relate to them.
Well, Sabrina Ionescu has her own shoe. Caitlin will have her own shoe. So they're going with the guards. They're going with the shoes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going back to the men's game. Like, who would buy, like, a... give me a set.
The Patrick Ewing.
Yeah. Yeah, the Patrick Ewing and the Akeem were the worst shoes. Like, nobody would wear those.
Yeah, the Kobe's are the ones that
people
love.
Yeah, you want Kobe's and Jordan's. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think you're going to want Caitlin Clark's and Ionescu's and... I think when Juju gets to the WNBA, that's going to be another... That's the thing, though.
Another temple. You need stars?
Yeah, I think Caitlin Clark has sort of developed some other stars, too. I think all of a sudden everyone knows who Juju Watkins is, and they would have known 5 years ago.
There are three things that grow a sport, and I think this is true on every sport, on every level. It is stars, it is rivalries, and it is games that matter. Those three, that's the sauce. That's the secret sauce. It's the stars, it's the rivalries, it's games that matter. You put that together in any sport we are watching.
I do think there's one other little element, and I know you agree with me. ESPN also, when they cut their deal, they got rid of hockey. Hockey fell off.
But they have hockey back.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying there was a 20-year drought in hockey, and that's because ESPN didn't cover them. I think you do have to have a relationship with the mothership.
Well,
and WNBA does, so that's good.
Yeah, but I think the TNT's relationship with the NBA has been very good. So I don't think you necessarily need ESPN.
But ESPN not getting the NBA right has definitely hurt the ratings. I mean, their studio shows have never been good. You don't think... I think ESPN needs to be on board, and I think they are with women's basketball.
Well, they definitely are. They've shown, I think, that there's going to be a commitment here.
And the coming together of Caitlin Clark and her interest coming to the NBA, WNBA, is coming at a perfect time because you're talking about a league that has seen growth and record-setting ratings, viewership, attendance numbers, all were up last season. So in terms of whether or not Caitlin Clark can really bring that to the college game, this is really the biggest test and the best opportunity. It feels like really kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime moment WNBA has never been, really hasn't been this hot in 20 years before anything involving Caitlin Clark. Just what we saw last season in terms of the interest. So if it doesn't happen now, I don't know when it happens.
It's a good point. I think they're ready for the moment. You know, when Diana Taurasi came out in, what was that, 2004? You know, or
right,
thereabouts,
yeah, there, yeah.
2005.
Was 2005 already? Wow.
I think so.
I mean, she's 41, so yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think we graduated college the same age, she and I.
Oh, well, that makes sense then.
A few more accomplishments on Diana's side of the ledger. But, you know, I think that, I don't know if they were ready for the moment then. And I think they are now, or we'll see. That's for sure. 855-212-4227. Kevin is in Oregon. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning. How you doing? Hey, Maggie, I agree with everything you said, the 3 points that are going to create more popularity. But those 3 points, all those things happen as a result of the media pushing either rivalries or great stories. When I was a kid growing up in Northern California, in the 60s, Willie Mays had to get a job in the off season because he couldn't afford his lifestyle just on his baseball salary. Now, the reason things changed was because more games got on TV and these rivalries and great stories became more apparent to the entire audience.
Yeah, Kevin, I mean, just having more, it's a great analogy because even having more WNBA games on TV is going to increase the eyeballs of the sport. And I think the I think the attention is there. Like, the WNBA has people's attention right now. I mean, Caitlin's debut is going to be massive.
Yeah, that'll be the biggest game ever.
What happens, you know, a month into the season and then 2 months into the season? Do they retain the eyeballs?
Do you think they ever move to the fall?
Why would you want to compete with the NFL and college football?
Just because everyone's in front of their TV. I just think, June, would you think about the networks? They always put like some weird game show or some odd reality show, and they take all the main shows off because they know no one's home watching television.
Yeah, I think there's a live sports element to this where you know you have to be there to watch it live. That could help. And I'd be honest, and, you know, we love baseball here on the show, but baseball's audience is really fractured. That's like generally the summer sport. And the audience is fractured. You really only follow your team. So I'd rather compete with baseball than compete against college football, the NFL, and, you know, I guess baseball playoffs. But I'd rather compete with just the dog days of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I'm not sure I totally agree with that, because you'll be on ESPN to watch college football and you'll see a WNBA ad. In June, you're not going to be on ESPN. I mean, honestly, I just picture July, like, go outside. Don't watch sports on TV.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you go outside. Yeah, I know people are on vacations and stuff like that, but I still think they're going to do okay with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think ratings would be higher in non-summer months.
I always think it's stupid when people take on the NFL. I think it's so dumb because the NFL, I think the NBA shouldn't start until New Year's or Christmas or whatever. Why even... I hate to seed the ground, but NFL just takes up so much oxygen.
Well, WNBA could go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday games on ESPN. I mean, obviously there's some NBA games in there. I just think that all the eyeballs are on TV. Everyone gets home and is watching games. I think NFL lifts all boats, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It's not like, you're not going to choose between the Dolphins and the Patriots game versus a WNBA game. But I think off nights, there's plenty of room. I'm just telling you, there's something weird about summer. It just doesn't do it for me. I feel like my sports calendar, it's like is so used to really engaging in different seasons, not July. I mean, you got to admit, like, that is not a sign of strength. That July 12th, you're going to sit and watch a WNBA game at night? I can't see that.
855-212-4227. That's the number to call. Get involved with the show, talking about Caitlin Clark and the WNBA, all eyes on it this season. We had a soundbite from Caitlin, right? Can we play that? She's talking about she's not feeling the pressure, or she is feeling the pressure. She talks about the pressure. There we go. Is she feeling it? Is she not feeling the pressure to raise up the entire WNBA? Here she was on Pat McAfee.
There's going to be learning curves for me. I'm not going to come out here and score 40 points a game. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. I think it's just, you know, learning from the amazing people that I have around me and having a lot of fun, but also, like, don't lose who I am. Like, that's what's got me to this point. Continue to be myself, and I think a lot of good will come from that.
Yeah, that was her at the press conference. I think this is the least, this is a lot of pressure, don't get me wrong, but at least she gets to share some of the pressure with some of the other players in the league. I think this is as relaxed as she's ever seemed because...
She always seems relaxed to me.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't feel like she's ever shown any signs of pressure, no matter what the stage.
I mean, sometimes on the court, but I think...
You think?
Yeah, I mean, her dad basically telling her to calm down and shut up in the middle of a game that happened at Iowa... I think she seems a lot like, all right, I'm part of this, but I don't know if she feels like she has to carry the whole burden of the league.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. She does look super relaxed right now, but I feel like she said something about how in the end of games, she just is not bothered at all. Yeah. Actually, she said any stage is not bothered me. She's a bit of a unicorn.
Yeah.
She's one of those people. Confident people. I hate them.
She talks, I love how she talks so openly about how good she is. That's something that's not... I know it's like maybe a given for athletes. That's tough sometimes for women to put it out there. I'm really good at this. This is how I got so good. I deserve this. I earned this. I should have all these great things coming to me. That can be tough sometimes for women to talk about. 855-212-4227. Coming up, a ban for life. Who got it yesterday and what does it mean? We get to that next.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. You know, there is one phrase you don't want to hear as an athlete, Maggie.
What's that?
Banned for life. That's definitely...
Is that bad?
But the funny thing is, banned for life doesn't always mean banned for life. Because I feel like Ricky Williams was banned for life from the NFL and came back like 2 years later. But Jontay Porter, Toronto Raptors player, who's been caught up in this betting scandal that has been a big story the last couple weeks. yesterday, the NBA came out with more details and the official banning for life, which I think a lot of us saw coming. And this guy's really banned for life. If this guy ever steps on an NBA court again, I think everybody is going to be shocked.
Yeah, he's not coming back from this one. This was a real triple threat. He bet on NBA games. He passed sensitive information on to gamblers so they could bet on NBA games. And he took himself out of two games to manipulate prop bets that were placed on him. So that's a real trifecta. You are not getting out of that one. And I don't mean to laugh about it. It's serious. I mean, he was betting millions of dollars. Yeah. He was also day trading on the side. So I guess this is like this sort of risky investment kind of thing was clearly part of his lifestyle. Not just basketball. He was betting millions of dollars on other sports as well. I mean, this dude kind of had it coming.
Here's the thing. I think this is good for the NBA. This is a good sign.
What's up?
Because I read some stuff about how they caught him. And I guess FanDuel and DraftKings and all the casinos, books have this incredible software that they can any anomaly in betting, they know immediately.
Yep.
So if this was all underground and there was no FanDuel, would we know that Jonte Porter was possibly throwing games? And when you think about it, go back to the official Tim Donaghy. How many times has this happened in the past that they have no idea about? So I think the NBA having above board betting is probably a good thing. I know that sounds weird, because look what happened with Ipe and Shohei Ohtani. He lost $4.5 million. And who knows what that bookie was doing. It was crazy, the amount of money he was moving. No taxes paid, I might add, which annoys me. But regardless, I think that this sort of legalized betting is going to help catch guys in the future. And it's certain enough guys get caught that it's going to scare the heck out of young athletes.
Yeah, that's what they'll tell you for sure. This is the integrity tax that they have on top of it and all the safeguards and watchdogs so that people can still have believe the sports is happening on the level, which is obviously the only thing that matters. Here's my question. We know what the punishment is for murder. And we know what the punishment is for drug dealing, and we know what the punishment is for crimes. And yet crimes are committed all the time. The lifetime ban for Jonte Porter was a no-brainer. You had to do this. It was an easy move, actually, for Adam Silver, because you push it on this one guy and you say, he's a bad actor and we're just going to get him out. To think that we're not going to have these kinds of things pop up again and again and again, because, first of all, I think there's a compulsion part of it. There's an addiction part of it. There's bad actors who get involved with this, and the ease by which you can bet now, it's the perfect storm. So you could look at it, I guess, as a positive that they caught him so quickly, but I also think get ready, because these scandals are going to happen more and more and more.
Yeah, but that's because they're catching them. So say that it would take murder, for example. What if you could get away with murder because nobody had any idea who was living or dying? That's what it was like before.
Yeah,
I think people would have murdered at will if you it was off book, you know, if it was I just be able to catch. I think it's important, and you know, it's one of these things, like, yes, the NBA would rather not catch people, but the fact that they have the ability to catch people might help, because otherwise, I mean, when you look back at the history of the league, we've all seen funny games.
Yeah,
who knows what was going on? I mean, this is a league that was able to sweep Tim Donaghy under the rug. I just think that it's actually, I'd rather have the model where they're catching a lot of people,
right,
which exposes a lot. It's going to make it seem like there's more sports gambling, but I wonder, honestly, like what used to happen.
So when you're actually sitting down and watching a game, though, and I'd be curious for our audience how often this crosses your mind, and the official does make a bad call, or something funky does happen, how many times are you like, ah, I see Scott Foster show up at an NBA game, I'm like, this, of course, you know, the guys have certain reputations, and I think people believe there's already other factors at hand.
Right, right.
But I think the confidence is like, it's already wavers.
I think having all the betting above board might give people some more confidence. And honestly, it's a catch 22. If you're the lead, do you want to catch a million people doing this, meaning that you're weeding it out, or do you want it to just go away? Would you turn a blind eye? I think they have no choice. They have to really monitor this stuff.
If you want to take the money from the sports books, you've got to play by these types of rules.
I think it's also interesting what happens with the Jaguars FanDuel lawsuit. So the Jaguars are trying to get back the $21 million that their employees stole from them and then bet on FanDuel, and FanDuel won't give it back.
Yep.
So FanDuel and DraftKings and BetMGM and BetRivers, they all have to take some responsibility here. Like they're on the clock too, because if they, like, you know, they have to monitor this closely, they have to catch people too. So they have a big role in this, and they have to work with the leagues.
I don't know how anyone could think they're going to get the money back from FanDuel. Like if you go,
FanDuel screwed up.
No, but if you say you steal, if I steal money from you and I go buy a Rolex watch with it, that's Rolex's fault?
Well, yeah, but you don't go back and buy 25 more Rolexes.
Well, let's say I did.
Well, who are you buying from?
Let's say I go to the Rolex store and I'm buying Rolexes with your say it's an Ipe Shohei thing and I have access to your bank account and I'm just draining you and I'm buying all these luxury goods. So Rolex and Hermes and all the things, they're now out. They should have to give back the money because they didn't question where it came from.
If you walked into a Lamborghini dealership and offered them a suitcase full of cash for a car,
mm-hmm.
yes, they have a responsibility not to take your suitcase.
Oh, is that true?
For yes. Who? By whom?
Because obviously, I'm saying if you come in with $100,000 of cash, don't you have to ask a million questions? Where did this cash come from?
No.
I don't think so.
Nope.
You guys know anything about money laundering? You can't just walk in with gigantic. Yeah, they do. They definitely have to like track that, like big items. You can't just all of a sudden go and buy a Lamborghini with cash and no one's going to ask any questions.
But like right, they have
that's
to, like
obviously a drug deal.
But they have to well. You know, I mean, you have to submit like paperwork for taxes and all that kind of stuff. But why do they have to vet who's bringing the money in?
Because first of all, that is very suspicious. If you're saying a Lamborghini dealership, a guy walks in with a suitcase full of money right. and it's just cash, which is weird. You're not going to ask a million questions where that money comes from.
I mean, I want to make sure the cash is real.
Right. You just count the money and be like, "Well, we got the money."
Yeah, I mean, after I know that if I know that they're all legitimate $100 bills, I don't want. Yeah. That's the end for me.
Yeah, what's the liability for Lamborghini for taking the money?
Like, I could understand if maybe
there was like money launderers.
If there was like a bank robbery that happened like down the street,
or he's got white stuff on his face as he's walking in.
Does this guy match the description of somebody who just robbed a Brinks truck?
Maybe, heavily accused of helping to launder this money. I'm sure they would know the police are coming.
But if they got a car from it, and it was. Of price, what difference does it make?
Isn't the person who tried to buy the Lamborghini the person at fault, not the person who sold them the Lamborghini?
I think everyone watches for money laundering. That would be a classic case of money laundering. I'm sure Lamborghini in this situation would immediately call the feds and say, "Hey, this guy just walked in with $300,000 cash. What's going on here?" Like, yeah,
and then I could probably sue them for libel, accusing me of money laundering for no reason whatsoever.
What are you talking about? It's a $300,000. Who carries around $300 of cash?
Well, here's the question.
Maybe I do.
Why?
Because maybe I want to pay cash, not pay $500 a month on
a car payment. Why aren't you writing a check?
What's the difference between money and a check? Dollars and a check, it's the same thing.
No. A check is traceable. Like,
yeah.
You guys got to watch Narcos. Cash, cash is moving cash is a gigantic problem.
But I could write you a check from my bank that is full of stolen money. Like,
that's fine because that's traceable. And like, if you're a drug dealer, you're not writing checks. They don't write checks. They carry cash around.
Also, I mean, investing in cars is a really bad idea because it loses value the moment you drive it off the lot. And everybody knows that. Well, you got to buy laundromats.
So everyone with cash is a drug dealer is what you're saying.
Basically.
Okay, so that's not true.
Well, obviously, unless you're a famous person.
Oh, listen, obviously industries have a cash sensitivity. I mean, you'd be so naive to say like anybody who's carrying $1 million of cash. Yes, that's a gigantic problem for whoever takes that money.
Well, I asked you then about the Rolexes, maybe not against the Lamborghinis, but say that I walked in and I wanted to buy a Rolex. Yeah. Is it Rolex's responsibility to ask me where the money's coming from?
FanDuel, it's not a fair analogy because FanDuel monitors how much everybody can bet.
Yeah,
they want to know.
You are trackable. You have to give them your social security number.
Yeah, and they also set limits on, and I don't know if they ask your salary at some point, but they are investigated. Like, they won't just, you can't walk in off the streets and make a $5 million bet. They'd be like, well, this is weird. So they want to know who you are. I was reading about John Day Porter. He had a huge, like, a VIP account. Like, they know who you are. They're not just taking a random, you can't just walk into a casino and be like, I'm going to put $5 million on this Temple St. Joe's game.
Right. So my questions are about my ignorance of this.
Cash is definitely an issue.
I understand, but what is FanDuel doing to vet somebody? Like, what do they have access to when I sign up for a FanDuel account? Like, how are they? I don't give them a W-2.
You do give your social security number, and you can't bet any beyond your means, right?
Right.
So you have to have
money. Have the cash in your bank
right.
account.
Right. So as long as they see that I have the cash, how are they finding out where that cash came from? They don't have, like, subpoena power. They can't go through all this stuff.
But they definitely, like, they're getting into you. Like, it's not, they're not blind about, you know, they might say, well, why does this guy have $20 million in the bank? I think they do look at that kind of stuff.
What can they do to find out? It's one thing to go, that's a weird amount of money. Who's this guy?
You don't think they ask questions? You just think that they look at the final number?
I'm literally asking you because you're talking like you know. I don't know the answer. For more information.
Well, I read about the Jaguars. The Jaguars are legitimately going to court saying you should have known that money was was funny, and you should give it back to us. I'm with the Jaguars. I'm claiming Wake FanDuel. What did you do here?
But and I want to know why FanDuel should have to investigate how somebody got their money.
Well, because FanDuel does that. I mean, they just look into the people who are spending money. They have information coming at them, and they should be able to flag something that looks weird. Shouldn't they?
But here's my question. Yeah. Did this guy actually look weird? Because he's got a company credit card that he was using. This is the Jaguars employee who's going to jail for a long, long time because he was using the Jags money to fund FanDuel accounts, private jets, luxury items, all that stuff. This guy really went for it. But if I look up and I say, well, this guy's a high-level executive at the Jacksonville Jaguars with a company credit card.
Certainly not a high level. He was a mid-level to entry level.
Well, but again, how do they actually know that? Well, I don't know if they're going to have your salary information. They're going to see you have a title with a major team.
Right. And like, I know that if you have to take bets for all these companies, they have to report this stuff to the leagues. Like, I know that is their responsibility as part of arrangements and whatever. Like, they have to flag Jontay Porter because they know Jontay Porter is in the NBA-ish and he's betting on basketball. Like, that makes sense. I still am just wondering what they do as common practice and what they're allowed to do with somebody just showing up with money.
I've got some information from our very own Andrew Kaplan.
Love it.
Please.
Who's doing the work here, doing the research. He says you can't pay in cash for a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
He also says once the dealership receives cash exceeding $10,000, a Form 8300 must be filed. So many tax implications when paying in cash. And someone here said, Kevin said, this is what Floyd Mayweather does. He goes to a car dealership with cash. I think that's part of it. We see famous people maybe get away with things that we as regular people can't get away with.
Well, that's the other thing, too. There are a lot of laws on big bets, right? I know because of the Arizona state scandal, after you go over $10,000, you have to file a form, right? So all of a sudden, like your social security number, like there's a lot of information changing hands here when you're betting at that level. So I would think, listen, if you're the Jags, would you not ask for that money back? I know they might not win the case, but you might as well try.
Oh, you should try. I don't see the logic in how they, like Maggie said, I don't understand. I don't see how FanDuel is responsible for this.
I see what you're saying. Agreed. I wish I had more information to counter, but it does feel like FanDuel decides who can bet. Like, I know, like, and sometimes the sports bet are too good and they kick them out. They say, like, you can't bet with us anymore. What's our guy, the betting genius who was on during the Super Bowl?
Billy Walters.
Billy Walters. Like, no casino is going to take a bet from him, right? They decide who gets the bet and who doesn't.
Yeah, but that's based on him beating them.
Yes.
That wasn't like, oh, we don't know where your money's coming from. We're not taking it.
But they know his betting history. They have an idea of who he is. I mean, they even know, I've read that they know his proxies, too. Like, if all of a sudden you walk in with Billy Walters, they know the betting pattern so well.
Like, that's why he was betting through Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, that's why he had to bet through Billy Mickelson. I just think it's not as simple as, let's just like, hey, I don't know where the money came from. I do think the books have some responsibility.
Dilbo says Allen Iverson had trash cans full of cash all around his house. I don't even know if that's true, but I'd believe it. Bogus has the headlines.
I'm actually going to tell that story at the coffee room later today. Did you know Allen Iverson had trash bags full of cash?
Just in case. Fact. Is it the free chicken game or is it the Nick Batum game?
Batum fakes it, dribbles it, shoots a three, it's up, and good again! He is going to be remembered for this one. Nico Batum, 6 threes, Sixers by 4.
Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Batum hit 6 threes, he blocked one late to help the Sixers climb out of a 13-point hole to beat the Heat 105-104 and claim the 7th seed in the East, where they will face the Knicks. The Heat, meanwhile, have to go home, play the Bulls tomorrow night to decide the 8th seed, and maybe they will not have Jimmy Butler, who hurt his right knee in the second quarter last night. He did finish the game.
Honestly, I thought the adrenaline would kick back in and I would be able to move, and it just wasn't the case. I wasn't able to do anything on either side of the ball, and I think I hurt us more than I helped us, actually.
Butler will get an MRI today with the team, apparently fearing an MCL issue. Those Bulls kept their season alive with a 131-116 rout of the Hawks in Chicago. Kobe White scored a career-high 42. The winner of tomorrow night's game in Miami has to deal with Boston in round one. The Pelicans and Kings finish the West play-in tomorrow, and New Orleans will not have Zion thanks to that left hamstring injury he suffered in the closing minutes of their loss to the Lakers. They wouldn't have him if they advance. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. And we now know why Jalen Brunson is not an Olympian. He wasn't good enough soon enough. USA Basketball GM Grant Hill says he and his staff had their 12 players in mind for a while, and since all 12 were on board, there was no chance for somebody to play their way onto the roster.
I think that this is going to end up with Jalen Brunson on this roster. I think someone is going to bow out because of injury because everyone's 100. Yeah. Who's like?
I totally agree.
You tell me Kawhi Leonard's actually making it to Paris? I don't think so.
Well, you know, though, there is this thing. Everybody wants to be in Paris for the shopping and the restaurants that these guys might rally and
show up. Yeah,
there's
no time for NBA players to go to Paris any other time. They've got to go now during the Olympics.
You know how famous people are? A free trip? They'll be all over that. I think that Paris is going to keep this roster intact.
You think Kawhi Leonard's shopping in Paris?
Oh, yeah. We're taking that new, and Jack Harlow going to New Balance stores.
Yeah, the New Balance stuff, they're going to make him make appearances. He's doing everything as soon as he gets there. That's why he's there.
And maybe, Jay, he's there, like I thought this yesterday, he's going to end up not playing, possibly because of his knee, but now he's on the team. And he gets, oh, I'm hurt, and then Jalen or somebody else gets on it, as opposed to leaving him off because he might get, you know, because he's injured. Now he's on. He's made the team. And if he doesn't play because of his knee, it's a little bit less of it's still on the resume that he was there.
That does help him, for sure. He was a Team USA member. I just wonder if we talk about Isaiah Thomas not making the dream team and how that doesn't age well. Or Christian Laettner being on the dream team and how that doesn't age well. Like, I just wonder, and I'm not here to just put Brunson on some crazy pedestal. I'm glad to do that, but I'm not here to do that today. I do wonder, like, how will this decision age? Like, they put Halliburton, they put Edwards, guys are very young players ahead of him. I wonder in 5 years if Brunson's going to be an MVP candidate every year. And I don't know if that's his trajectory.
No,
but that's the case. In 5 years,
side.
It's going to look bad.
It's the flip side. It's going with an old roster is going to look worse. It's not going to be remembered for the Jalen Brunson snub. It's going to be remembered for why did you have LeBron, KD, Kawhi Leonard.
AD and Embiid are injury prone.
Yeah, like it's going to be like, why did you think you were going to make it to the finish line with this roster who's so old?
Yeah. Do you think people kind of ignore the fine print of things? Like, we all see the big name, which is why I think there's a lot of excitement around this team. I think some of the snubs have kind of gone a little bit under the radar, except for Knicks fans crying. And I'm one of them, because of the big names. You say, well, how can you deny having Steph Curry and LeBron playing together? I wonder, you could be right, especially if they struggle, but I do wonder if in 10 years we say, well, what could they have done? They put LeBron James on the team.
Yeah, right.
Who can complain?
He's 40, but sure.
Right.
Interesting.
The Chargers are signing their second former Ravens running back this offseason, J.K. Dobbins, joining Gus Edwards in L.A., former Ravens OC Greg Roman is there as well in this weird Harbaugh nepotism cycle between the Ravens, the Chargers, and Michigan football. And the Maple Leafs and Lightning finished their regular seasons with a 6-4 Tampa Bay win last night. Lightning winger Nikita Kucherov did become the fifth player ever, the second one this week, to record a 100-assist season, but Austin Matthews failed to score his 70th goal. Guys, back to
Can
you.
Can I ask you a question about the Harbaugh thing?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it now. Do you think that you would be your brother or sister's friends? Like, would you want them around? Like, I love my brothers, and everybody knows I'm super close to my brothers. I don't know if just, like, my brother's homies are the guys I want to hire or the guys I want to hang around. Like, this is a little odd, no?
The Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, how they kind of pass guys back and forth between each other. Coaches, that is. I mean, I think when your dad's a coach, too, he probably tells you, like, a certain type of way that you're going to be coaching. And everyone, if you can play for one Harbaugh, I think you can play for any Harbaugh. So I think they like guys who can fall in line with them.
Yeah, and they like
speak
knowing
the same language, a little shorthand if you're in that Harbaugh universe.
Definitely.
It's like the fear of the unknown. They know these guys. They know they're going to fit in. They know what they're going to do. They know they're going to listen, whatever it is, instead of hiring somebody new who might not work out.
It just feels like Jim and John are pretty different people, like kind of like my brothers are. And I don't know. Like, John seems a little more, I don't know, not as intense, clearly.
Yeah, so
like,
maybe Jim sucks. Really? So he's got no friends, so he's got to take John's.
Kinda. I think it's funny. I mean, would you put one of your siblings' friends as, like, your emergency contact?
Right.
You know, is essentially what you're asking.
Yeah.
Like, would I put my hands in my life and my brother's best friend? I think I would. My brother's a little bit older than me, so everyone's a little bit more mature, but not in high school, but now I would.
Man, I don't know about John Harbaugh not being intense. That dude seems pretty intense.
A little high strung.
Yeah, John Harbaugh, they're different intense. They have different styles, but they're besties, which is weird to me. Like, I love my brothers, but I don't hug like they do. John and Jim.
Would you want to do a show or work with any of your siblings' best friends?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh,
100%. I like my brother's friends.
That's so fascinating. All my brother's friends are cool. None of them would be in my friend group.
Really?
If I didn't know,
you guys are all pretty close in age too.
Yeah, my one is 2 years away, and yeah. I don't know. So I don't know. I find this weird. But
my husband and his brother are 2 years apart, and they share a lot of friends. Like they're friends with some people independently and part of the group. Anyway, thank you, Bogish. We've got to take a small break. Coming back, scandal at Augusta. I don't know if you guys saw this one. Crazy story coming out of Georgia. We'll get to that. Maggie and Perloff, Infinity Sports Network. Welcome back. Not sure if you guys saw this one. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, by the way. An ex-employee at Augusta National Golf Club is...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Been charged, Perloff, in federal court in Chicago with stealing millions of dollars in Masters Tournament memorabilia over a 13-year period and taking it all to where? Florida. A guy about 39 years old, Richard Glebinski of Augusta, was charged with a criminal, obviously charged on Tuesday, transporting stolen goods across state lines. And not exactly sure how the Chicago connection gets in here, but they're saying that between 2009 and 2022, he moved millions of dollars worth of Masters golf tournament merchandise and historical memorabilia taken from Augusta National, transported it to Tampa. They have no idea what he took yet. Like, we're not privy, or they do, but we're not privy as the public to what he actually got. You know, there's very strict rules around the green jackets, of course. You can have your green jacket for a year, and then you have to give it back to the golf course, and they keep it in a special area. So who knows what this could be? They have not made it public yet what he stole.
So is this like, the guy who steals coffee pods from the carriage just slowly over the years and added up? Like,
just rolls the toilet paper from the office?
Yeah, rolls the toilet paper.
I
remember during the pandemic, it felt like everyone in the country was stealing stuff from their work. This feels like, what do you, take a Tom Watson ball here, you take a nine iron from Phil from 2008. Like, what was he taking? I'm dying to know here.
And it will come out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he didn't really try and sell it all then, because it sounds like he still has the merch.
No, I think he was moving it to different auction houses or maybe underground type of auctions. Yeah, and I think he definitely stole millions of dollars worth of memorabilia.
Oh, I thought you said he was moving the memorabilia. Like, moving means selling? I thought you meant like putting it in a van and moving it from one state to another. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, he stole it from the club
and
then took it to a place where I'm presuming he got paid for stealing it.
When you said moving the merchandise, I'm an idiot. I thought you meant like getting a U-Haul and putting a bunch of golf clubs in the back and driving it across state lines. You meant selling.
I think that he literally took the stuff from Augusta. So that's stealing it.
Right, but then how come they don't know what it is then?
No, they just haven't released yet what he stole. There's got to be some kind of inventory.
Okay. Anyway, yeah.
This is not making sense to you? Okay.
No, I understand. No, I'm just curious. Like, that's a problem when you steal stuff. How do you sell it, right?
Yeah.
From watching TV, like, I didn't know there were really underground golf memorabilia websites. I bet you that was really challenging for him.
No, I think it's the same way, like, if you steal a priceless work of art. You know, there's going to be, you can't just, like, you know, put that on eBay. You have to find dedicated buyers and people who want to move this on the black market.
But it does sound like also that he actually carried the stuff from.
Yes.
From that's what they're getting him. That's why the feds are involved. So they're actually. Is some moving going
on. Yes, there is actually some moving. I don't know if it was in a U-Haul.
Yeah, and so he stole $13 million. I wonder how much he was profit. Did he get the $13 million yet, or does he still have all this stuff?
Well, considering it took place over the course of years and years, I have to imagine he was getting some money along the way.
But I'll bet you his garage is awesome right now.
It was a special storage unit.
Oh, my God. Talk about a man cave. That is the ultimate man cave.
But you can't show it off. Because that's how you get caught.
I don't know. You got it. You tell me there was never a temptation to show his neighbor Bill. Hey, come down here. Look what I got. This is the pin from when Tiger won in 98. Yeah. You know, you're not going to show a neighbor that once in a while?
I guess so. But this is how you end up probably in jail. I always wonder that, too, about the people who have, like, you know, steal these priceless works of art. Who are you telling it to?
That is the most frustrating thing.
Are you displaying it? Your mansion in Moscow or something?
Oh, honestly, you have the original Scream. I actually saw a documentary. It's impossible to move. Like, it's hard to steal. It's harder to sell.
Yeah. And very few buyers. Right.
Yeah.
The money that you want to take on the risk of buying something that's so obviously stolen.
That is the theme of the show today. It's a money laundering theme, Maggie and Perloff show today. How do you money launder? We are very inexperienced at this.
It turns out you and I would be the two worst criminals on the planet Earth.
Terrible.
We picked the right profession. Bank robbery, not in our future. Coming up, it is Thursday, which means we dive into the multiverse. Maggie and Perloff.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.